Bucham Abayim to the eighth in the continuing series of Shiurim on the thought, the machshava of Harav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. In the seven Shiurim, we have covered the first two sections of the Pinkas HaDapim, Aleph, which appears as two volumes addended to the Shemona Kavotzer. This is Krach Beis, Kavotzer Miksav Yad Kotshoi. And the Pinkas HaDapim Aleph, we're told, is from Yafo, Ben Hashonim Tafresh Samach Dalet and Tafresh Ayin Dalet. Okay, now, we covered section number one. We've covered section number two, not the entire section number two, but we've spoken about the basic ideas in section number two. We haven't gone into the specific mitzvahs, but that I'm not going to go into. Section number three is a small section, which I'm going to skip for the moment, because section number three is actually related to sections later on. But what I want to do is I want to go to section number four. So section number four appears in the volume on Daf Nun. And I think that section number four is very fundamental, very deep, and extremely important in understanding not only the thought of Rav Kook, but understanding his interpretation and his understanding of really a lot of Jewish philosophy and the Kabbalah Sahari, upon which he's basing himself on. And in addition to this, his attitude towards modernity, which is, of course, one of the important and central focuses of all of Rav Kook's thought. Okay, now, so I'm going to begin reading in section four. There's a lot here. I have a mitzvah Hashem to finish this sometime before Tisha B'Av. And let's begin. Okay, section number four. Says Rav Kook, I'm just going to read and translate if that's possible. In Rav Kook's writing, that's also a major effort to try to translate it. Says writes Rav Kook, Haibuvia, the confusion, Hanimtzois Bedeas Bedereinu, the confusion that is found in the different opinions, the different deas, the different opinions in our generation, Srichalios Museres Miikola, right? Has to be based a priori on ethics. Okay? Hakafira maresis is called Osha Ha'olam. Heresy destroys all of the joy. Osha in Rav Kook means spiritual joy in the world. Umachrevis beis Yisrael ad ma'oid. And destroys the house of Israel very much. Lachain, therefore, says Rav Kook, Choyva kafulehi. There's an important, a double obligation, at this point in history, lahagia es halavavois, to settle down the emotions, the passions, betzugas hadeyas, right? In formulating opinions and philosophies, mitzad binyan al-umma, right? With the purpose of building the nation, chutz me'atova hanoishis haklolis, right? In addition to the general betterment of the rest of humanity. Okay, I'm not going to try to understand this at this point right now, but that's the translation to the best of my ability. Let's continue. Havana shel klolos hamunois, right? The understanding of philosophies in general, of thought in general, has to be renewed in an easier and more understandable manner. More than what has been publicly or universally seen up to now. In other words, Rav Kook says we have to have a new attitude towards the new philosophies of the 20th century, of modernity. 20th century, of course, not right at the beginning of the 20th century. So this is about 100 years ago. So Rav Kook is saying is that we have to have a different attitude. And Rav Kook is stipulating now a different attitude, that we have to take a new view of the different, of the spectrum and different types of ideas which Rav Kook himself faced, right, at the very beginning of the 20th century. Okay, once again, these notes are from actually Kafre Samach Dalet. So the notes are actually from the very beginning of the 20th century till, I guess till 1910 or something, 1912, 1913, something like that. Okay. Now, so what Rav Kook is going to do is going to, this is an incredible piece. I think this is one of the, I mean, up till now, I think the pieces have been pretty incredible. But here, Rav Kook is actually going to give us really an intellectual history, which is going to cover idolatry, monotheism, Kabbalah, everything. Okay, I think this is a Rav Kook's take on what you would call Jewish intellectual history and its interface with world intellectual history. Says Rav Kook, now I'm reading, and of course I'm only translating. Miyoyim shenoftza emunas ha'achdus ben amim rabim. From the day that the belief, that monotheism, the belief in gods, I guess achdus is unity or incorporeality, from the day that monotheism was promulgated among many nations, al yedei hashpa yisraelis, through the Jewish influence, biyichud, and specifically, hashpa ha-tanachit, the Tanachic influence, right, the influence of scripture, of the Jewish scripture, shabo al yedei ha-toka ha-yavanis, that came through the Greek translation, perhaps Rav Kook is referring to the Septuagint. This has to be checked out, whether in fact the Septuagint, in fact, fostered monotheism among the Gentiles. V'nivnu binyonim teologiim gedolim b'chol hakitos hadatios basios. Says Rav Kook that from the onset of the introduction of monotheism in the world, so therefore, pyramids and edifices, theological edifices, monotheistic that means, were built among all the nations. In other words, I hope it's not a surprise and shock to you, but not only is there a Jewish theology of monotheism, there's also Islamic and Christian, etc., etc. So says Rav Kook, from that day that monotheism became the mainstay of at least Western religion, Western religious thought, this created what's called, in fact, actually, hostility between the different religions, which means that actually what Rav Kook is going to come to say is that religious warfare actually begins with the onset of monotheism. Says Rav Kook, in the time of paganism, we don't see that there were religious wars. Religious wars is a invention, a chiddush, a novelum of the onset of monotheism. Very, very interesting. I think that if actually you do some research into this, which I think I did a while ago when I first learned this piece, I think religious wars actually begins with monotheism. There's no record of paganist religious wars. I mean, the pagans certainly fought, but not over paganist ideology. Goes on, Rav Kook explains why this is true. Teva halilius, says Rav Kook, the nature of paganism, polytheism, he shalol litchok echad gak lechavera, one doesn't try to push away, one doesn't try to exclude. In other words, one type of paganism doesn't exclude another type of paganism. The fact that paganism is also polytheism, of course, someone's going to come in, I'm sure that some religious scholar is going to distinguish the two, but for all intents and purposes, Rav Kook is using paganism and polytheism as two sides of the same coin. The very concept of paganism, which is polytheism, is basically an acceptance of different types of gods. Right? So in other words, if a person is a paganist, which means he's a polytheist, right? This fosters goodwill among your fellow paganists, because paganism is basically a belief in a spectrum, and therefore in a belief in a, you know, in the possibility of several deities. So in other words, the pagans, so far as religion is concerned, right, live side by side. I think, Rashi, the famous Chazal, Sanhedrin, Rashi says that Do HaFloge, there was Achvus V'Res B'Neyem. They were pagans, but the pagans have, at least religiously, the pagans can, you can live comfortably with other pagans. So says Rav Kook, V'Kemen She'evsha Lamuna Achas, She'tikl Elilim Rabin B'Kir, but since one paganistic religion can include several deities, several gods, Kein Lo Yisatzer Ne'er Im Acherim Yavdu Elilim Ke'ela. So it's not going to, oppose the deities of other religions. She'ein lehem kol yipui koyach etzla. Okay, so in other words, if you worship, since you yourself worship several gods, several deities, right? You're able to accommodate deities from another paganistic religion. That's what Rav Kook is saying. In other words, paganism fosters acceptance and mutual,
Respect.
Well, that's a mutual respect. I was going to say, Okay, now pluralism. In other words, polytheism equals pluralism. That's what Rav Kook is saying. However, this is not true for monotheism. Amdam ha'achdus moichehi al kol elohus b'koyach otzum ma'oid. Of course, monotheism opposes polytheism. Umemela nispashta hamachah gamkin al pirte hakultus hadati. This is true. Monotheism not only fosters intolerance of other deities, but actually, says Rav Kook, fosters intolerance of other religions. Even the other religions are monotheistic too. She'adavke b'tzura zu, she'amuna ha'mukubelas b'zeh ha'kibbas mazeket b'oy. Because monotheism claims, not only is there one God, but we have the one way of serving one God, and this excludes other ways of serving one God. V'sidon achara yike'ilo einza oisa eloya. So if people have another way, right, of serving another God, it's that they have a different God. That's what Rav Kook is saying. In other words, so therefore the hatred of idolatry of Avodah Zarah, right, is in fact extended to a hatred, an animosity towards other ways of serving the same God. In other words, monotheism equals intolerance. Paganism equals tolerance and acceptance. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Okay, in a nutshell. Okay, now, it's very, very interesting that the Rambam in the Meir Nevuchim, in the section of negative theology, I think it's probably chapter 56, round 56, says that the other Rambam says, explains about man imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attributes, his midas, his ethical acts. Says the Rambam is that the command, the tzivui of the Torah, to destroy the Shevas Amim, the nations, the Canaanite paganistic nations that lived in El Jisrael, right, is in fact actually not chas v'shalom, right, an unethical act, but on the contrary, says the Rambam, destruction of idolatry is really a pursuit of the truth, because belief in Hashem Echad is in fact the emes, the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Moshe, of Teras Moshe, and therefore destruction of idolatrous nations just represents a annihilation of things which are not true in the world. That's the Shita Sarambam. That's what explains the tzivoy of the destruction, Hashmada, the Shivas Amid. And so in other words, for the Rambam, it was clear that one, the belief and the championing of Hashem Echad, of the, what the Rambam said to be the religious truth of the world, was at one with the ethical truth, right? In other words, in this case, ethics and ontology are equal. That's the Rambam said to be the ideal before the Chet of Eitz Hadas. And therefore, destruction of other nations, right, really amounts to promulgating the ultimate divine ontological truth of one God. That's how the Rambam is saying it. So really, what the Rav Kook is saying is, in fact, you know, one can find the source for it. In other words, the elements of this thinking is really, in fact, actually in the Rambam and the Bar Nebuchadnezzar. And the Rambam speaks about this later on in the third Chelek, but let's face it for now. Okay, now. So that's what Rav Kook says. Let's go on further. Right? Aval Eif Shah Klal Shia B'matzav Kazeh, says the Rambam, but one cannot have the situation as we have it now, Sheish Boy Pegima Musoris Kol Kach Gadol, that there is actually a destitution, or ethical corruption, so great, that will, in fact, actually be eternal. In other words, Rav Kook is saying over here an interesting thing. Let me back up and saying is that monotheism, while in fact represents divine truth, nonetheless, in a certain sense, breeds a certain type of intolerance, and therefore there's a temporary suspension of ethics. That's what Rav Kook is saying. It's very interesting. The Gemara says in Daf Tes and Yuma, you all know the Gemara, that Bayis Rishon was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah. Right? He also says Shfichas Damim and Gerarayis, but Avodah Zarah, Gerarayis is a part of Avodah Zarah. And Bayis Sheni, they were Tzadikim, Amalei Torah. But nonetheless, there was a Begam Ben Alma Chaveri. So, in other words, Chazal are, in fact, actually saying that the Begam Ben Alma Chaveri is, I guess, in a certain sense, inversely related to monotheism and the rejection of Avodah Zarah. That's what Chazal is saying. So Kook says is that this tension between ethics and monotheism can only be temporary. Goes on Rav Kook and says, so in other words, Rav Kook is being torn between what he understands to be the true, the divine truth of monotheism, and between what he understands to be his temporary ethical failings. It's very interesting that Rav Kook, yeah, Rabbi Sedley, you're bothered by this.
Rav Trutz is claiming that Rav Kook is calling the mitzvot of whatever as ethical failures.
No, he's not speaking about mitzvahs right now. What he's saying is that there's an inherent intolerance, which is part and parcel of monotheism, intolerance.
But that leads.
That's what Rav Kook's been speaking about.
Is there not a mitzvah to destroy idolatry?
I mentioned the Rambam. Of course, there is a mitzvah in the Torah. That was according to the Rambam in the third Chelek of Bar Nevuchim. That's Ikar Teres Moshe.
Right.
But I just mentioned it as a tangent. I'm not right now speaking about destroyed idolatry. Of course, I'm not speaking about that.
So you're saying in the positive, monotheism itself is unethical?
No, I didn't say that. And if I implied that right now I'm talking about it right now. Chas v'shalom.
So where's the lack of it?
Says Rav Kook that we see that in history, monotheism, right, gave birth, was the cause of a certain amount of intolerance. No one's saying that Chas v'shalom monotheism is unethical. That can't be. Chas v'shalom. Hashem echad u'shmei echad. Okay? What I said was that we see that monotheism, in a certain sense, in the world, has fostered among other nations, different nations, a certain amount of intolerance, right, which is not fostered. We're in contradistinction to this, right, idolatry and polytheism somehow breeds a type of more of a tolerance. Right? Of course, is not advocating idolatry, nor is he advocating intolerance. But Rav Kook is, I think, just making what you call a ha'ara on Western intellectual history. That's what he's saying. Now, Rav Kook goes on and says, what is this, what is relevant for us? What is it relevant for us? So says Rav Kook, Hagiroin apenim mitzor shiyukach patar osay, v'sigav yubadlo. Says Rav Kook, the giroin apenimi, the inner kernel has to be expressed with purity. In other words, the inner kernel of divine truth has to emerge with purity and has to be accepted with purity. In other words, we have to connect with the inner divine ontological truth with purity on its pure side. V'sigav yibadlu. Right? In other words, and therefore, as a result of this, its husk, right? Its klipa will be separated. Mimela. Right? Hatayra el yoyna shal hanakuda amunis. The high purity the high purity of divine faith, of Jewish faith, divine thought, which is ha'achdus helikis, which is the divine unity, buchechas hilavoy la'olam, that eventually will emerge in the world. That eventually will come to the world. This is, Rav Kook here is basically saying that the process of divine unity is a process which mimela, which automatically, which is a result of a historical process, that doesn't have to necessarily involve, as I understand Rav Kook, of any specific type of action. It happens by itself. It develops by itself. By the way, Rav Kook is, of course, basing himself on the Ramchal in several places, in specific, in the Das Tavunai. So Ramchal speaks about what's called Ginui Yichudai, that, in fact, eventually throughout history, there's an emergence and revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity, and this is a process that happens by itself. It's not a process which man, at least for the most part, is in control of and can nurture and foster. I mean, man can, of course, strengthen it, but it's a process that happens by itself. That's called Gili Yechudai. Right? That's the, in other words, Hanhagas HaYichud. Hanhagas HaYichud in the Ramchal is a process which is nurtured and directed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. In a certain sense, independent of man. And that's what Kook is speaking about here. What Kook says is the development and the emergence of the pure divine faith of God's unity is something that happens by itself. HaYispaschus LoYisamoid Amada. And this evolution, right, doesn't stand still, but it evolves. It evolves by itself. Hitovei lemorim pisgasa. It will come, this evolution of divine unity will actually ascend to its heights by itself. Vapiska haimema beruach tagia ad ha'achas elokis be'achrech. And in other words, for sure, eventually, right, it will come to its highest level. Now, what says Rav Kook, the emergence of God's unity and its revelation in the world is a process that will happen and will certainly happen by itself. And man doesn't have to in any way be active in directing it and giving it impetus. But unity in itself teaches us says of Cook, the spectrum of different types of what you would call pluralistic dimensions of the world are really levushim, are really garments, right? Which, in fact, serve as garments for the eventual revelation of this divine unity. V'shahevdel animsa ben halbosha dechuka, mugbeles, murapeles, b'machashchim shel demyonis koizim rabbim, at oisa halbosha hamisachheves umisateres ba'oit shekol tzach v'nizgav, enyenu ki'im hevdel shel sidre madrege sha'ira hagdoyla hulechas b'lgal ayadam. Says Rav Kook, we're going to see different types of ideas and faiths which in fact are false. They're not true. Dechukim, mugbolois, mupeles, b'machashchem, right? They dwell in darkness, and we can eventually see that these things were all basically, they were shadows. They weren't real. They were false. But these are the necessary garments which are needed for revealing the true ontological divine truth, right? in at its highest level. So Rav Kook is saying is that even garments, which in fact essentially are not true, they're false, they're misleading, but these are necessary because they serve as garments for the way in which God's unity is ultimately revealed. And this is all Ramchal, this is all Das Tevunais. Ramchal writes and repeats repeatedly in the Das Tevunais that even Ra, even what's called evil, and Hefset, and divine vacuum are necessary for the revelation of Yichud Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity. So what Rav Kook is saying here, how is he applying the Ramchal? He's applying the Ramchal. The Ramchal, I think, probably there is, in the Das Tevunais, is speaking about history, speaking about evil, and tragedy in history. And Rav Kook here is speaking intellectually. So Rav Kook is that the intellectual truth of God's unity is has to be necessarily revealed through the garments of various types of purported intellectual truths. I'm putting truths in quotation marks, which even though fundamentally, right, are false and not true, nonetheless, these garbled intellectual truths are necessary to serve as garments for the revelation of the true intellectual truth. So therefore, what Rav Kook is saying is that the spectrum of ideas in the world, even though initially we reject them, we have to understand that ultimately, even ideas which are ultimately false, serve as necessary garments for the revelation of the true religious truth, right? And therefore, because of this, what Kook is saying is that we have to be attuned to this, and we have to, in fact, this is the way we have to look at their intellectual emergence. Okay? Because ultimately, says Rav Kook, the true intellectual truth is in fact going to incorporate all of these false intellectual truths, right, in a total unity. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Yeah.
Does he understand these false truths as false monotheisms or false pluralisms? I'm just trying to work out
the whole spectrum, even false pluralism too, because that's the
a picture of pluralism leading to monotheism.
Right, right, and he's using as his basis of Avodah Zarah, pagan. Just like Rav Kook, I think, is trying to say too. Just like in a certain sense, I think what he wants to say that sometimes paganism, right, is as it means towards monotheism, but monotheism emerges from paganism. I'm not saying Rav Kook says l'chachila one should be a paganist, but in other words, he's making sort of like an analogy that just like the rejection, paganism is necessary for the rejection of paganism, constitutes a true monotheism, as the Rambam the Nevuchim understands that in fact Jewish monotheism, Torah mitzvahs, comes from directing paganism towards monotheism. So Rav Kook understands that in the ideas in the world, even though we might, you know, initially reject them, we have to understand that sometimes ideas, even though they're ultimately false, and like what Kook would say, they destroy the beauty of the world, they destroy Beis Yisrael. Nonetheless, these are necessary garments without which the true divine unity, right, and divine idea cannot be revealed. That's what Kook is saying.
Is he relating to the Enlightenment as a return to a kind of paganism?
We'll get the details in a while.
Because I'm trying to understand the paganism led to monotheism.
He's making an analogy. Right now, he's making an analogy. I think he's making an analogy, paganism versus monotheism, and what you would call heretical ideas, right? Right? In relationship to the, you know, the true divine idea. That's what Kook is saying. Okay, is everybody, Rabbi Sadler, yeah.
Is this similar to Rambam's justification for Islam and Christianity?
It might be. You're talking about the other Hilchos Melachim. Yeah, could possibly be. There are many makaras for Rav Kook. I just want to just get through the basic ideas, because Rav Kook is actually going to come to the emergence of the Kabbalah, which we'll get to in Mizrashim next time. I want to suspend the makaras, the sources of Rav Kook, but I just want to sort of focus on just what he's saying. Okay. So it says of Kook, eventually, when we come to this divine truth, we're going to see that all these different ideas, heretical, seemingly heretical ideas, were just steps which led to the revelation of the true ontology, true divine ontology. V'sidra madres halo yukro ayidei istaklus biira lo betur resisim boididim she'en yachas ben istoreyok im betur kavim v'shirtutim organiyim. Says our cook, in retrospect we're going to see that all of these heretical ideas, these false ideas, right, are not sort of like, you know, resisim boididim, in other words, husks and shells which are not related, but rather they're actually contours and lines which are part of an organic whole. Ha'aisim kulam yachat chatifa achas, that these different heretical ideas can be part of an organic whole which creates an organic unity, chatifa achas. Now, Cook here is actually approaching the concept of a paltzuf in the Kabbalah Sahari, but we'll speak about the Muslim next time. B'chofish goma hidinu medavrim. Says Rav Kook, I'm speaking with full freedom, I'm speaking freely. As he writes in his notebook, which I'm sure he never thought would ever be discovered years after his life. B'loi shum pachat, says Rav Kook, I'm speaking without fear. He's not afraid to say the truth. B'bnei sha'emes u'nelo agreda, says Rav Kook, that our light is the truth. Intellectual truth is the light by which we walk. For Migdal Oiz, and it is the Tower of Strength. Shem Hashem bo yorot tzaddik v'nisgav. The Tower of Strength, which is the name of God, that the tzaddik, right, will use that as the means by which he ascends to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Kook here, in fact, concludes his piece with what he himself conceding is perhaps a dangerous idea, but Rav Kook is going to says here, as he says in many pieces we'll see in Mitzvah Shem, that he's not afraid to think the truth and to be brave to think the truth. Now, up to now we've just read and translated. We haven't really gone into things deeply. There's a whole second paragraph, which we're going to Mitzvah Shem do next time. And after that we're going to actually... This is probably one of the most fundamental pieces of Rav Kook, in which actually we see the breadth of his philosophy basically coming together to very, very, the most central concepts in this thought. But in any case, until then, till next week, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Yirat Kodesh, be well and have a nice week.